Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, wrestling fans. Yes, we will be playing AC/DC for the next couple of days. Unfortunately, the news of the passing of David Cassidy of Partridge Family fame happened right before we went on the air. So we don't have any of his music programmed in. Who knows? Maybe next week we can do some of that stuff. So
really,
welcome.
You're gonna torture me? Are you serious? Okay, like you're gonna torture me with "I think I love you, so what am I so afraid of?" No.
Hey, there's more. There is more than just that song. Okay.
No, man. I
seriously
didn't like the Partridge Family. I didn't like David Cassidy. I did not drink the Kool-Aid when it came to that. I am sorry.
man. So
I was a Brady Bunch fan. Okay.
Well, hey, my wife loves Brady Bunch too. So, well, and I grew up with it. So what can I say? But
I grew up on reruns.
And
so okay. Well, then correct me if I'm wrong. Was I watching reruns or was I watching the actual show?
Let's see. Well, that was on during the 70s, so
yeah.
You might very well have been
watching
the original shows. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
yep.
All right. Yes, we're already completely going off the track of this show, but welcome to Rampage Rants Tuesday Night Turmoil. I am the Dean of Wrestling referee, Steve Kane, along with my co-host.
The reason why the show could never be a bag of dicks. And I'm also Steve Kane's show wifey, Chaotic Katie.
There you go. There you go. You know it.
I do so fucking know it. Damn right. Don't let me forget it either.
You know I won't. So, first off, of course, in all seriousness, want to say thoughts and prayers out to James Harris, a.k.a. Kamala, who right now is also on life support in hospital. He had emergency surgery Sunday night, according to his stepdaughter. They've not said exactly what it is, but, right now he is still with us. He's still holding up. And a very good friend of mine, Coco Beware, has been holding vigil at the hospital with him.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
Yeah. I got to work with James many, many years ago down at in a show in Central Illinois, and one of the nicest guys that you could ever meet. I mean, big guy physically, but very soft spoken guy as far as the actual person goes. And
yeah, Sean's not here to say something. He would echo the same. Sean got to LA for him at one point, so yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Would echo the same. I myself,
that is,
scared the living crap out of me when I was a kid. Okay, and I don't know. I respected him, but I feared him at the same time. Cause I enjoyed him.
Oh yeah,
I did. I won't say that I didn't. Enjoy his work.
Exactly. Earlier today,
you're cutting in and out.
Wishes came out from our good friend Joe Laurinaitis, aka Road Warrior.
Yeah. Oh, you're cutting in and out, Steve. You sound like crap.
Who will be with us, by the way, December 20th. We'll go ahead.
Oh, excellent.
Whoops. All right, let me straighten up a little bit here. Who will
there
be with
go.
Us, by
that's
the way,
better.
December 20th.
That's great.
Cheap plug. So that's what
Oh, man. It's doing it again. Crap. Well, fuck. Oh, boy. Well, I don't know what's going on with Steve Kane's microphone at the moment, but I'm going to message him and tell him he sounds like crap. He's cutting in and out. You're cutting in and out. Okay, you sound like crap. Sounds awful. Oh. Let's see if I can wait. Oh my God. This is bad.
I don't know. Okay. All right. I can't disconnect because. Okay. Hello, Katie.
Oh, man. That's better. There we go.
Okay. Whatever. That was weird. I had to pull my little USB plug out and plug it back in. So, all right. Well, Anyway, so let's go ahead and let's get into some news and some controversy. And there's definitely a lot of it going on. Several weeks ago, Ric Flair announced a change in his management. And here's why. Just a few days ago, he filed a lawsuit against his former manager, Legacy Talent and Entertainment, over claims that they stole $25,000 that he was to get for the recently aired ESPN 30 for 30 documentary that aired. Flair discovered he was out of pocket when he had a lawyer look over his finances, and it was discovered that the money was missing. Flair was managed by Legacy Talent from 2009 until October of 2017. Well, Legacy responded, and their statement is this. Ric Flair has always been known to be dramatic and looking desperately for the spotlight. That's fine as a wrestler, but is despicable when he blatantly lies. They added, as anyone who read the Ric Flair Grantland article knows, Rick has always left a trail of discussion in his wake, whether it be from his ex-wives, the IRS, State Departments of Revenue, creditors, or from his former business partners and friends. The debris is everywhere. Our client provided Flair with accounting of funds, as they always did throughout their representation. Flair then demanded funds that belonged to buyers be released from trust that he had not yet earned, and our client would not be bullied into doing anything unethical. In reality, the $37,000 in dispute are in his management company's trust account, while we were working out a settlement on the sums of money owed our client from deals and money Flair hid from his management. So, lot of stuff going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there is the David Otunga situation. Just in the last week, right before Survivor Series, Jennifer Hudson, who everybody, of course, obviously knows, well-known singer, former American Idol contestant, was an Oscar winner for Dreamgirls, and is currently a voice on the NBC show The Coach. And Otunga had been together over 10 years. And just last week, she filed had a restraining order taken out against him.
Oh, my. Wow, that's saying a lot.
Now, yeah. Well, and there's a lot of different stuff going on with this, Katie. Hudson claimed that Otunga has abused their son David Jr. And Otunga is saying not only is that not true, but while she's been out touring the world, and according to his claims, having an affair with a record producer, he has been sitting at home, basically giving up his career except to make those occasional appearances on the pay-per-free shows.
Okay. Well, here's what I have to say about that. I'm going to say something I saw on Facebook. Wrestlers should never marry outside of their species. I'm not serious. Think about it.
Well,
if you're a wrestler and you marry a wrestler, you understand everything they're going through, and that you're going to maybe get one day a week to see them. Okay, her circumstance is pretty much the same. She's crazy schedule, she's touring and everything else. I get it. But, at least if you're marrying a wrestler, you know what you signed up for.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because here's the thing. This is what Atunga's lawyer, Tracy Rizzo, the statement that she made. It says, David Atunga has been trying to negotiate the terms of an amicable parenting agreement with Ms. Hudson for several weeks now. The statement continues. However, when it became apparent to Ms. Hudson that Mr. Atunga would be the parent granted residential care of the child, as a result of Mr. Atunga being the child's primary caregiver while Ms. Hudson pursues her career over all the world, Ms. Hudson decided to file a meritless petition for order of protection in an effort to gain an unfair advantage in the custody dispute. Rizzo adds, as a result of Mr. Tunga's career in the WWE, Ms. Hudson felt that she could give an award-winning performance in court to portray herself as the victim. Mr. Atunga has never abused or harassed Ms. Hudson or their son. So that's, yeah. So a lot of heavy duty stuff going on in there.
Big time.
So definitely want to, for those who have not seen it yet, if you've got the network, watch the WWE 365 special on Kevin Owens. It aired after Survivor Series Sunday night. I sat and watched it. Oh my gosh, absolutely fabulous story. I mean, you know, as an old school guy, yeah, I hate the kayfabe is gone, but you know, getting to see shows like this where the guys, you know, you see them letting their hair down and telling, you know, the truth about themselves and how they feel about things, as, you know, absolutely, absolutely awesome. Okay, now, James Ellsworth, of course, we know got released a few weeks ago. Well, guess what, Katie? It wasn't a personal issue. It was strictly budgetary.
My.
In fact, Vince McMahon had some major plans for Ellsworth. He was going to have Ellsworth competing for a championship at WrestleMania 34.
Shit.
Ready for this? Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Well, wait till you hear what championship he was going to be competing for. The SmackDown Women's Championship.
I was waiting for that. He's not even talented enough to do that.
Well, the idea would be discussed about having Ellsworth announce that he was going to turn transgender in order to compete in the SmackDown Women's Division and challenge for the SmackDown Women's Championship at WrestleMania 34. As for who would be the champion heading into WrestleMania, the idea was that Charlotte Flair would be the one defending the title against Ellsworth.
Yeah. Oh, my God. She would have beat his ass all over the ring and then some. Oh, my sweet Jesus. What are they thinking?
Yep.
Come on, creative.
Yeah, I know.
Holy hell.
I know.
Yeah. Oh, my God, man.
It's pretty wild, isn't it? I tell you.
Yeah, it's not even that it's wild. It's pathetically, dumb. I would never do that. I don't see the point of the, yeah, it would be pretty funny.
Yeah.
It would be funny.
Okay. Yeah. And we also found out as far as the reason that James Storm left Impact.
Okay.
And it's the money issue.
That's fine.
Because
there is no money.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, because Storm's contract was due to expire soon, and it was worth in between $150,000 and $200,000 a year, which the company can no longer afford to pay.
Nope.
Now here's the thing. Now, of course, during a short hiatus when Storm was not with TNA Impact, whatever you want to call it, he did do some matches that were on TV with NXT.
All right.
Now Triple H promised Storm he would work something out in terms of him appearing on NXT when the time was right. Now, of course, the one thing is he has a 90-day no-compete clause. So
Okay. Obviously
anything that happens for him will not happen until after the first of the year.
Okay.
So if Storm does go to NXT, if Storm were to go to Ring of Honor, if Storm were to go to Lucha Underground, which, I mean, Lucha Underground probably won't be starting to film anyway until probably the first part of next year, and we definitely need to get some of the guys back on now that we know that season 4 is in the works.
That's great.
Yeah. So that was what the situation was with that. Matt Hardy is back in the news on the legal front again.
Oh shit.
Well, no, it's anything bad on his part. He is just going after filing again for the broken trademarks.
You shouldn't have to do it again. You know, I thought they won.
Well, no, they haven't won. But you know, the thing is this. Obviously, we know the situation with Anthem Sports right now. They don't have the money to go sitting there and get involved in a prolonged copyright fight. Especially when I'm sure that that Vince will be more than happy to loan Matt some money and or some lawyers
to help him
obtain the trademarks. He's hinting it again, because after the Raw match with Elias Sampson Monday night, or well, the fight, he posted a video up where he said he's reaching his breaking point.
Okay.
Hint, hint.
I thought we'd see some of it last night.
Well, I mean, we know because he does the hand gestures, he does the delete thing. He's been playing that edge without crossing over and possibly getting Vince into some legal trouble, but he's been edging on that broken thing literally since they arrived.
I agree.
Now it's, you know, so it's just a case of,
and,
you know, how soon can they nail? Yeah, right. And the crowd is definitely into it. I mean, the crowd is waiting for and wants broken Matt Hardy.
They're so wanting.
And
like me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course, when Jeff comes back, that would be the return of Brother Nero Oh man.
Oh yeah.
I mean, can you imagine? I mean,
yes.
Okay. Think about all the stuff that they did using their money, their own personal money,
yeah,
to get that angle over those and those characters
no.
of TNA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Think about what they could do with Vince's money, Vince's production people.
Large, overly large.
Let's put it this way. It would make Final Deletion. They could make Final Deletion look like the Big Bang Theory sci-fi movie Serial Apis 2.
Oh God, no! I didn't think anybody loved Big Bang as much as I do.
Oh, sweetie.
Oh God!
I mean, we've got nine seasons. We've got 9 seasons on our bookshelf right now on DVD.
I love Sheldon.
We have like a half a dozen matching Big Bang shirts. Okay.
Yeah.
We could sit there during episodes and quote lines. Okay.
Oh, I'll do it with you. My personal favorite line of his is, "I'm not crazy. My mommy had me tested."
Yeah. Exactly.
I bought Darren that t-shirt.
Well,
it wasn't
besides the matching one, I also have the Sheldon one that says, "I cry because others are stupid, and that makes me sad."
I have the soft kitty shirt.
My wife has the same thing. My real life wife,
not you wife. The one I have, it's a gray shirt and it's a gray tabby kitty, and then it's a soft kitty that. Oh yeah. My daughter and I could text the first part of that to my daughter, and she texts me back. Yeah.
Oh,
I love Sheldon. Have you seen Young Sheldon yet?
Yes.
I love it.
Watch that too. That's a great one.
It's funnier than a. Oh, Meemaw cracks me up. Meemaw would be me as a Nana. Okay, that'd be me. Except I wouldn't be drunk.
Yeah. So.
Oh my God.
Oh
yeah,
gosh. Okay, so
anyways.
All right, so back on track. There's already changes to Royal Rumble being made.
Oh, shoot.
The original plan was for Finn Balor to face Brock Lesnar as the co-main event for the 2018 Royal Rumble, according to Dave Meltzer. Now, those plans were apparently nixed early Monday morning. Because McMahon feels
match.
That Balor. What's that?
That'd be a squash match. May as well.
Well,
you know?
Hey, we thought that Brock versus AJ was going to be that too.
Yeah.
But
that
it wasn't.
Match was close when it
which
came
I'll
down
talk
to it.
Which I'll talk about that in a minute too.
But
McMahon feels that Finn Balor is not over enough with the WWE audience, which is why he lost to Samoa Joe and Angry Butt Sex last night.
No, he got Angry Butt Sex. And lost to Samoa Joe because Samoa Joe is a big motherfucker, and when he gives you butt sex, you stay the fuck down. So that's what
that
is.
But also apparently it's believed that Vince does not want anybody kicking out of the F5 until WrestleMania, and the person who will be kicking out of the F5 will be Roman Reigns.
Okay, that makes more sense. Okay, but what also makes more sense, I understand that This is why we saw AJ and Brock. Nobody wanted to see Ginger and Brock. I want to see Ginger and Brock. Okay? But people are saying, including yourself, he'd be lucky if he'd make 5 minutes in the match. His cardio isn't very good.
Right.
No,
right.
He doesn't have
I don't. I don't believe.
Match.
Yeah, I don't believe. I don't believe that that would have been an entertaining enough match. I think you know that.
But he made it through the Punjabi prison. He kept up. He didn't. He didn't lax or leg or anything. Right.
Yeah, but
that's
Punjabi prison. But Punjabi prison was not, you know, was not the type of physical and speed match.
Because
right. everybody looks at Brock and all they think of is big guy. And
big
he
strength.
Is a big guy, yes. But he is also very quick. If you watch him as he does his running corner to corner,
yeah.
He is very fast.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Mahal can keep up with Lesnar's speed in the
Ooh.
Ring.
That's what
that's,
I'm saying.
You know,
I mean, like, but you gotta
mean,
what, if you're a big guy, yeah, if you're a big guy, you got to keep up in stamina. And I know I say it often, and if you don't watch ROH, why the fuck not? If you can keep up a war machine stamina, you got it. You got it.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned.
And speaking of that, Paul Heyman made a statement. I will you know, it's a pretty long one, but I think it's worth
All right.
reading. And Paul wrote, "I'm shocked. I've been an AJ Styles fan since before I was supposed to be an AJ Styles fan. I
okay.
watched AJ Styles before anybody here was supposed to watch AJ Styles. He is more phenomenal than he gives himself credit for.
Oh.
If you're not an AJ Styles fan, you shouldn't even be watching WWE.
I
He's
agree.
Everything Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart and Ric Flair were to their generation, and he's updated it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's evolved
okay,
their
well,
styles.
Yeah, he can bash and crash with you. He can high fly with you. He can, I mean, his cardio is great. His stamina is amazing. He can get down on the mat and make you tap. He can hold his own. He can do it all. You know." It's
right.
just, it's like back in
well,
the days
yeah.
of Hollywood where you had to learn how to sing, dance, and act. You had to do all three.
Right.
You had to wear every hat you could.
Right. Right? Exactly.
So, yeah, I'm not
exactly.
surprised.
Well, this is, yeah, and this is, and he goes on to say he's evolved their styles to truly be the single most phenomenal in-ring performer that I have ever had the honor and pleasure of watching up close. I've been doing this my entire life. No one in the ring has ever compared to what I witnessed tonight when I had the best seat in the house and got to see AJ Styles up close. To you, sir, I have nothing but respect and admiration, which is why when they put this match together, when AJ Styles defeated Jinder Mahal to become the WWE champion, I dropped to my knees and I thanked God that Brock Lesnar gets to step
oh, wow.
into the ring with AJ Styles. Because it's one thing to eat through an entire division. It's another thing to step into the ring with AJ Styles and show the world that you can conquer those hopes, those dreams, that intensity, that underdog. Yes, Rocky lost at the end of the movie, but he won the respect of the woman he loved. AJ Styles continues to earn your respect every single night he performs. Tonight, he didn't
Damn
just
it.
Perform, he fought. He took the fight to the beast like very few ever have. Which is why I stand for you, and this is where it kind of goes character, which is why I stand before you tonight, your humble advocate, because I am truly with the champion of champions, the ultimate title holder, the reigning, defending, undisputed number one champion, then, now, and forever, Brock Lesnar. But, I mean, the rest of that was pure shoot right there. That, I mean, that speaks volumes right there.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to
speaking of changes, For those of you who watched NXT TakeOver Houston, Drew McIntyre was not originally slated to face Andrade Cien Almas. In fact, he was originally, let me pull it up here because there's a lot of stuff that happened regarding this whole situation and that, because he was actually originally supposed to face Adam Cole from Undisputed Era. But then when they decided to go to the War Games match, that's when they decided to put Undisputed Era in War Games, and they put Almas in the spot. But apparently during the match, McIntyre tore his right bicep, which may have been the reason that Almas won the match and took the title. Now we still nothing has been officially declared as far as McIntyre's injury. He was supposed to get an MRI on Sunday, but they haven't said anything. And if in fact it is a torn bicep, well, then he's out for at least 6 months, which really sucks.
Darren's still healing from his from about almost a year ago, so that's no joke.
I don't know, Katie, if you saw the Bill After video.
No.
That he had posted up. Well, his two favorite matches of TakeOver were War Games and the Aleister Black Velveteen Dream match, which, folks, if you have not seen this match, if you have the network, go watch the replay, because, I mean, that match was absolutely phenomenal. There were times when I was gasping for air. Think about this, okay? I'm in the business. I am trained as a performer. I've done these moves. And that. So I understand what's going on, because I've done this in the ring, done it both as a wrestler and of course as a as a referee being involved in the middle of matches. So when you can make somebody who knows, like if a magician can make a fellow magician
I've dated magicians, so basically if you can fool me and I can't pick out your stuff, you're damn good, because I dated a magician / illusionist for a little while there, so I can pick out a lot of stuff and tell you how it's done. Especially close up magic, that's easy.
Yeah. Well, Summer Rae is teasing a possible affiliation. A few days ago on her Twitter, she tweeted # Bullet Club. And if anybody saw either night of the two nights of Ring of Honor, you know that there is a new member of the Bullet Club, and that person has a history with another member of the Bullet Club.
Who does?
And the
who does? Sorry,
yeah,
people are messaging me while I'm on air.
Well,
what? Okay, all right. Well, then, yeah. Help me out here.
All right. Well,
okay.
At on night one of Survival of the Fittest.
Okay.
Stephen Amell joined the Bullet Club.
Oh shit, eh?
Yes.
Wow.
And of course, we know Kenny Omega is the leader of the Bullet Club. The Young Bucks are part of the Bullet Club. And so is the American Nightmare, Cody.
Oh, we know that.
And
we know Cody is.
And of course, as many people will know, when Cody was Stardust, he and Stephen Amell had a feud, which actually led to a match, a pay-per-view match.
Great.
And on night one, they defeated the Addiction, which is my old buddy Chris Daniels, and we're going to talk about him in just a second, and Frankie Kazarian, Scorpio Sky, and Flip Gordon. Well, Chris Daniels, and, well, again, remember, I have trained with this man, okay?
I know it, and I'm jealous.
He's done some acrobatic things, but he's never done anything really crazy in the ring. Well, he did something crazy at night of the Fittest.
Oh shit!
Or Survival of the Fittest.
What?
And you saw the pictures. He took flaming table spot.
Oh,
he
my
went
God.
Through a flaming table.
Boy is missing skin.
Burned skin off of his back.
Oh my God! I can't honestly say I've never had this happen to me, folks. Oh, I mean, and I've had some serious road rash in my time, but like that, no.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
Yeah, exactly. Now it'd be interesting to see, you know, what would happen if Summer Rae were to actually join on, because of course she wouldn't be the first female to have been part of the Bullet Club, because of course remember Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson were original Bullet Club members when the whole thing started in New Japan, and Gallows' now ex-wife Amber was the Bullet Babe. And so while she never actually wrestled in a match as part of the group, she would come out with them at times for the tag matches and that. So it's a you know, real good possibility. Okay, Raw last night, number wise, they drew 3,074,000 viewers, which was an increase from the 3,030,000 that they drew last week. First hour, 3,244,000. Second hour, 3,194,000. Third hour, which is around the time that the game starts, the Monday Night Football game starts, 2,785,000 viewers.
Yeah, I didn't have my HDMI cord hooked up to the TV for the first, like, what was it, hour or so, because here I was watching the hockey game. We got our asses canned to us, but yeah. So
yeah,
I hear what you're
yeah. Right.
You got to put up with football. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, Jonathan Coachman, who,
okay.
of course, was an announcer for WWE back in the day, and that, but then wound up going to ESPN. Left just a few weeks ago. After having spent 9 years with ESPN. Which he was kind of the flagship of their WWE coverages and that. But he's actually says he's back to watching WWE regularly now that he's left ESPN.
Wow.
So
does that mean Coachman's coming back to WWE?
Don't know. Oh. I mean, it would not surprise me if that happened. I mean, I would love to see that occur.
I miss saying, shut up, Coachman.
And then also that happened Saturday night, Tommy Dreamer's House of Hardcore made their broadcast debut on the Twitch app.
Oh, wicked.
Well, I had that on my computer while I was watching NXT TakeOver.
I know you
because
did.
Because I wanted to see if it would beat out the situation with that Triple Mania, and as you guys remember, I tore that up.
I know you did.
Well,
I know you did.
Unfortunately, House of Hardcore did not fare much better. Unfortunately.
Oh, shitty. You were looking so forward to watching that.
I was.
There was
a couple of things. I mean, number one, they had the signal glitches that bogged down Triple Mania. Okay. Secondly, some of the matches were not really that good. I mean, I can really kind of count those on one hand. Most notably,
it's
the really yeah. Well, I mean, most notably, probably the best matches of the night were Matt Cross, aka Son of Havoc, against Petey Williams from TNA.
I know who he is.
And then a triple threat match with Max Riddle, Luchasaurus, who is of course part of Cobra Moon's group from Lucha Underground, and Willie Mack also from Lucha Underground, which Willie Mack won. Super crazy. He did a couple moonsaults, but he's definitely put on some weight. Nick Aldis beat Billy Gunn, and Billy Gunn needs to just go ahead, give it up, and shave his head.
Thank you very much.
He's got less hair than I do.
Oh.
And then Austin.
I know.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, because last time I saw him, man, he was developing quite the crown of hair, and that's all I have to say. Quite the crown.
Yeah.
Shave it.
Yeah, shave it. Get rid of it, Billy. Come on, seriously.
Amen.
And then there was the promo.
Okay.
Austin Aries bored the crowd for 12 straight minutes.
Oh, wow. Shit.
Talking about his career, why he got fired, and to the point where the crowd actually started chanting, "Shut the bleep up."
Fuck
and
up.
booing him.
That's sad.
And he was pushing his vegan book.
Oh my god.
I mean honestly, I'm sitting there, I'm looking at it, and thankfully at that point, I believe was during the middle of the women's four way, so I at least had something that was a lot more entertaining to watch than his blather. And wouldn't you know it, that would be the time that the signal would not glitch and would not freeze up and knock out on me.
Piss me off.
during the matches it would glitch up. But that 12 minutes of time that I'll never be able to get back.
Oh my god.
and they got 2 weeks. They've got less than 2 weeks now to fix that, because less than 2 weeks on December 2nd they will be broadcasting live again on Twitch, this time from up just a few hours away from me in one of my favorite stomping grounds, the Expo Center in Waukesha, Wisconsin, for Blizzard Brawl, the show that used to be run every year by my friend David Hero. But when David Hero retired from the promoting business, and that he sold Blizzard Brawl over to Tommy, and so House of Hardcore, that was last year was their first year doing Blizzard Brawl.
Oh shit, eh?
So now they better come up with some way to fix that up. In fact, I popped that on Twitter and got a like from that from somebody that I will admit I had forgotten was following me. Women's wrestler Angel Orsini, who was an ECW who was an ECW original, known as Prodigette.
Very nice.
So I'm going to probably talk to her, see about maybe getting her on the Wednesday night show sometime.
Nice.
And that. We got a couple of minutes here, Katie, before we go to break here. So, real quick, I mean, now you didn't get to watch NXT, right?
No.
Okay. But obviously. Okay. But obviously you did watch Survivor Series.
But of course.
So, all right. So, give me a couple of high points on that for you.
High points on it for me. Honestly, I truly enjoyed the women's match. I was a little pissed off that they counted Nia out. That really, really ticked me off. And also because I didn't get to see Nia last night, and she should have been there, and she wasn't. So that was a low point for
but
me.
We know what happened.
Yeah, because, that left room for Paige and some NXT girls to come out and cause a commotion.
Not just upset. Some NXT girls. Not some NXT girls. Sonya Deville. Legitimate bad mama jamma if I ever saw one.
Yeah,
she's a legitimate MMA fighter.
Oh yeah.
She's not the blonde.
She's the blonde. Mandy.
She's the raven hair. Yeah, Mandy's
right.
The blonde. Sonya's the one who has her hair braided up like Ronda Rousey.
Yes. And other MMA girls. That's just the way
right.
They do it. Keeps it out of the way.
Right.
Best way.
So,
to do it. There were a couple of highlights. There's a couple of things I enjoyed. I enjoyed the man's 5-on-5 match. That was great. Maybe
very interesting that.
Triple H is a little stunt, you know, and then just the look on Braun's face when he's raising his hand. He's basically telling, we won the match. Who cares? Who gives a shit? Just go with it. You know? And Braun's just got this other look.
Yeah, you stole my thunder.
Never mind. Thunder. All of it. It's just been called for, most of it. But, you know, we all know the huge ego that Triple H has. So, he's got to make something about himself, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, we're hitting up to the top of the hour, so we're going to go ahead, take a break. That way, Katie, you can refresh your call and that, and keep up with our ACDC theme. So, little Back in Black, we'll be back in about 4 minutes. You're listening to Rampage Rants. Tuesday Night Turmoil right here on Evolution Radio Network. late Malcolm Young and AC/DC with Back in Black. You are in the ER. And Rampage Rants, Tuesday Night Turmoil.
All right.
The Dean of Wrestling referee, Steve Kane, along with...
The reason why the show can never be a bag of dicks, Chaotic Katie. And I'm going to bring in our amazing repeat offenders, Johnny G. and Billy.
And your number
repeat
one
offender.
Listener, Billy Price.
So I said my repeat offenders. Okay. I'm still hungry. I got to find something.
Yeah, rest in peace, Malcolm Young.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, yep. Okay, I've received some update information on the McIntyre-Almas situation. Apparently,
uh-huh.
the plan that the DDT and Almas winning the title was the planned finish, but the injury happened apparently when McIntyre was holding onto the top rope as Almas hit him with the DDT. Now they have not yet, at least as of Sunday afternoon, they had not yet performed the MRI, so not exactly sure as far as the situation. So, further update from James Harris's stepdaughter, Juanita James. He is showing signs of improvement after surgery. He is doing much better, and he is off of his ventilator. He's not talking yet, but he is awake and alert. So that is a good thing. So I'm definitely glad to hear that, because that's, you know, if you've worked with somebody even once, of his stature, to hear something like that is very tough.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I'm glad to hear better news at this point for his situation. So, all right. We talked a little bit about Raw. We mentioned the fact that Samoa Joe, after the confrontation between Kurt, Triple H, Jason Jordan, and Braun Strowman, Finn Balor loses to Angry Butt Sex.
Yep.
The
Coquina Clutch. I named it a couple of months ago. And it happened when Paul Heyman got the Coquina Clutch from Joe. It looked like Angry Butt Sex.
I like to call it the Coca-Cola Clutch, just to be an ass.
So that's why we refer to it. Yeah. Yeah. The ER name for it is Angry Butt Sex. So speaking of angry, man, Asuka completely demolished Dana Brooke.
Oh my god!
Talk about a revived rivalry
off.
Then.
No, Asuka got pissed off because Dana kept backhanding her, and she hit her across the jaw in a certain spot. I know that spot because if you hit me in that spot, I'm gonna know about it. And Asuka got mad. Asuka got pissed off because we noticed after the match she was still holding her jaw.
Yep. And then of course the Miss TV segment, which led into the announcement of the Intercontinental title match for the main event between Roman Reigns and The Miz. And we will talk about why what happened, and we'll also tell you about something that you didn't see that happened after Raw went off the air. And then, of course, Dean Ambrose beating the Angry Catfish, who at least last night did not look like a refugee from the north side of Chicago in the from the mid 80s. I mean, seriously, the little spike things and that with the different color on his hair, it was like, it was like walking through Uptown. Like I say, back in the mid 80s and that. My favorite point of that match was when Ambrose blocked Sheamus's 10 beats of the Baldron and performed a few of his own. And then, of course, the Fatal 4-Way, which did not end up with a winner because somebody came back to claim her house, and
okay.
She brought a couple of friends with her.
What? Damn.
Oh. I mean, Paige, Mandy Rose, and legit bad woman Sonya Deville just kicking the crap out of all four women in that match, and then later on going backstage and beating the crap out of Alexa Bliss too.
Right.
That didn't bother me at all
because Alexa Bliss walked right up and started trying to get all nicey-nicey and sucking their asses big time. And, Paige just like, yeah, really? I don't think so.
But
yeah,
I like
sorry,
the shot of
they
like
brought them up because I thought it was way too early for them.
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all, Johnny.
Yeah.
I think it's good because, in fact, actually, the way that they're playing this, it's like the three of them are just in it all for themselves, and they have no allies other than each other.
Yeah, and one more
and
thing,
I
by
like
the way,
that.
Like I just think they're going to be getting this ready because like all the rumors that we're hearing, like it might be possibly happening. We got to get more women on because it's just one thing in mind. We're getting close to January. We may possibly see the Rumble for the women.
Well, I mean, hey, you look at last night, and then we'll talk about, in a little bit, we'll talk about tonight. It very realistically could happen. Then the eight-man tag with the Zotrain, against Alexander Swan Tazawa. Yeah, the Zotrain. Enzo's little click.
Talk about play on words. Jesus.
Yeah. Yep. And then of course there was the Elias Matt Hardy confrontation. And then Miz loses the Intercontinental title to Roman Reigns. Now, you wonder why that happened? Well, it looks like Miz is going back to filming another movie. And rumor is it may be another part of the Marine franchise.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, which is good because they're probably actually shooting it close to where they're probably shooting in L.A., which allows Miz to be able to be home now instead of being out on the road while Maurice is carrying their baby daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So, kudos to WWE for doing that. So what they did in order to write Miz off of TV, which is the part that was not seen on live TV, was that after they went off the air, the Shield triple power bombed him. Excuse me, through the announce table.
Shit.
So.
Nope, didn't see that.
Yep. Well, yeah, because that's what happened after they went off the air. So. All right. And then we get into tonight's SmackDown Live. Interesting opening because at first they tease it like Shane is going to go ahead tonight and pull the trigger and fire Owens and Zayn.
Mm-hmm.
And then Daniel Bryan mm-hmm. comes out and starts out with saying, yeah, he had to send Randy Orton home because Orton said he wasn't going to be responsible for what he ever did to them,
mm-hmm.
and then sets up the lumberjack match with the New Day. So, and then the Shelton Benjamin Jey Uso match.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, good match. I mean, what can you say about that?
Match.
I mean, yeah. I mean, Shelton Benjamin, we all know, seasoned performer, and of course Jey Uso. Oh, I mean, you know, it's part of the family. It's part of the family blood. You know, I mean, when your dad is the Hall of Famer Rikishi, I mean, hey, you definitely, know how to perform in that ring, and if you were also, partially trained by your uncle, as well. You know, Umaga.
Yeah.
And then. As Naomi's getting ready, all of a sudden, out comes the next invasion from NXT. Ruby Riott, Liv Morgan, and the woman we now know as Sarah Logan, although when we interviewed her a few years back, and we're going to try and find that and play that for our Throwback Thursday so that, yes, we are going to have our Throwback Thursday so you can... have a little wrestling talk with your post turkey coma, Crazy Mary Dobson.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So
I love her.
They attack Naomi, and then yes, go ahead, Johnny.
Yeah, there are two things I want to bring up. I mean, first, number one. Without a doubt, WWE, I swear to God, they're giving Ruby Riott tons of credit for respect this year. I mean, she came on in January, if I remember, and then she right away got put in that pay-per-view with a tag match against Nikki Cross against, I forget who else it was. It was against Sanity. And then all of a sudden, she got a title shot right away against Asuka at the next pay-per-view. And then what do you know? She's right away on the same year getting put on the roster. But then the second thing that I'm kind of finding a little bit confusing is, like, they're going back to, like, probably 2015, if I'm not mistaken, is, like, remember when Sasha got called up?
Mm-hmm.
They're doing it once again. They're going to want to do a triple tag for one of the biggest stars that they did. They had to put it with a group for Team Bad. And all of a sudden, they're going to be starting the same thing. Like, you think they're going to go that wrong route once again because they're wanting to make a triple team like we saw the same thing on Raw and we saw the same thing on SmackDown? Because we know that one of them has to be a bigger star than one of them.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. See, I think this case, Johnny, it's going to be, you know, that they'll let them go ahead and come around as a group. Now, obviously, of course, on the Raw side, we already know Paige is the big star out of this group. But now, you know, she's got some muscle behind her, especially muscle in the form of Sonya Deville, who I will put that woman over to the moon and back. She is definitely a top-notch performer, and like I say, I mean she is legit tough.
She was tough enough, right?
I don't recall because I did not watch the most recent version of Tough Enough. I think she was, but I'm looking at it from, you know, from her her MMA. That's where I look at it from, and that. So, and in this case, okay, you know, Ruby is probably the, you know, in this group, Ruby's probably the bigger name because she's been around NXT longer, and that, so she's got a little more recognition, but Sarah is, you know, Sarah's legit. I mean, she has knocked around the independent scene since she was a teenager. And she's only in her early 20s. So she is definitely, she is an amazing talent in and of herself. I mean, Like I say, obviously before we had her on the show, I watched several of her matches and that, and of course her background. She did her original training with her then boyfriend, Madman Pondo. So she already has she has the pedigree in the business and that. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. You know, I mean, like I say, you know, obviously it's the same thing because they had her beat up Naomi, they had her beat up Becky, and then of course later on they come out and they beat up Natty and then beat up Charlotte. So, you know, it'll be interesting when they get some mic time to see how they tell the story and that, as far as why they're here and why they're together. So,
don't forget, by the way, remember they were supposed to have a scheduled match this coming week, if I'm not mistaken, Ruby and Sonya Deville, remember?
Okay, I'll have to look at that. They may have that on there. They may not. Well, we'll have to see. So then, finally the debut of the Bludgeon Brothers. And boy, did they destroy the Hype Bros.
Even though I didn't witness it, I must say, about fucking time they brought back Rowan and Harper after teasing us for so long.
Oh, honey, you should see them now. You wouldn't even know. And now you have your computer back. You can ask me for a link, you know.
Yeah, I'm here. I hear they're wearing coveralls now.
No.
Mm-mm.
No.
No.
No. We're in tank tops.
Tank tops.
Yeah.
But I will admit, with the WWE's, you know, slacking on bringing them back, I kind of did lose interest for a while, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I know.
When you see,
it was just like with the whole
them,
Triple X movie. They took too long.
Well, yeah. But honestly, Billy, when you see them, and if, you know, and if you get a chance, you know, I'm sure the match will be up even on YouTube tomorrow. And that.
Probably.
But, I mean, they delivered a serious, I mean, I'm talking, I was sitting here watching it, and I was just like, you know, like those points in a horror movie when something bad happens and that. I mean, my eyes were reflexively closing. And again, like I said earlier in the show, you know, I know how this all works. You know, I was trained to do it myself. And I'm sitting there and I'm wincing and I'm going, oh my God. I mean, it was quite the demolition in that. Then they said. Then of course, AJ Styles and the Maha.
Marco Polo.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Set up their. Set up their match for Clash of Champions, and then. The polyester pukes come out and
can't stand them.
And he can't win without them either.
Oh no, he can't.
And then AJ, I loved how they did that, where AJ delivers the Styles Clash on Samir and makes sure that he's facing Mahal as he delivers it. Yeah.
Agreed.
That was good presentation right there, added to the dramatic effect. Then of course the women's match, which of course winds up being a no contest when Ruby and Liv and Sarah come out and beat the crap out of Natty. Then they kind of do a shield thing as far as surrounding Charlotte. She gets a couple of shots in, but then, you know, numbers overpower and they leave her laying. And then the Lumberjacks.
Yeah.
Which, not bad. It's a lumberjack match, which means, of course, there's going to eventually be interference in that. It goes crazy,
mm-hmm.
And Owens and Zayn get the win, and they run off, and then Owens begs
Chief.
Thanks, Brian, not to fire them. And he says, "Nah, I'm not gonna fire you because next week you're going one on one against Randy Orton." And Owens thanks him. It's like you're going to get the crap beat out of you again, and you're thanking him. Wow.
Well, just for not, because he's thanking him for not being fired.
Yeah, let's put it this way: if I had the option of being fired or getting the crap kicked out of me by Randy Orton, I'd take the walking papers.
I said walking papers, not the other kind of papers. I know. You see, I'd walk into the ring, I'd look at Randy, and I'd say, just RKO me and get it over with and pin me, all right? Let's go.
Yep. Yep. Hey, like our old buddy Bobby Smedley, Bobby Blaze, pin me, pay me. Which, oh, Black Friday this week. Be watching. There's gonna be a lot of specials coming up on stuff over on Amazon, which of course is where you can get both of Bobby's books. You can get Bill Apter's "Is Wrestling Fixed? I Didn't Know It Was Broken." And of course,
thank God I did my holiday shopping early.
Yeah, and of course, stop by our friend Kenny Starmaker Boland's Facebook page, and you can send him via PayPal, and you get a signed copy of his book, "I Probably Screwed You Too: The Mostly True Stories of Kenny Starmaker Boland." And of course, there's a number of other wrestling books that are out there as well, and you can definitely enjoy those.
Steve, by the way, did you see Kevin Owens' new 360, whatever it was, on the network?
Yes. I during the first hour, I talked about that. I highly recommend that one. I'm probably going to at some point sit down and watch it again because it was that good.
What were you saying about a couple minutes ago about getting fired? Like, do you think they're gonna want to do this? Like, because we're not seeing the draft, for instance. Like, there's just two or three people probably. Like,
you're
talking about the Wyatt, maybe. Like, I know there's no alpha Bray Wyatt to have a match to Survivor Series, but if they don't want to get him traded because they got nothing for him, I would probably save a SmackDown. But I don't think Kevin Owens is still happy right now with where he's going. Maybe not. I may not be mistaken, but okay, you're fired.
Well,
so now you're getting moved.
There's a rumor, but then again, there was also a rumor. The big rumor that was floating around was that Orton was going to turn on his team and join Raw,
yep.
And that did not happen. So, yep. although on Twitter, Sasha Banks hinted that she might like to head over to SmackDown, and there is talk that there might be one more shakeup before year's end, but we'll have to wait and see about that. And if it happens, it happens. And, at that point, if and when it does, then we will go ahead and we'll talk about it at that point. So, all right, now tomorrow night, as far as we know, Francisco Chiazzo is is supposed to be joining us. We're supposed to have the AIWF champion from Africa. I'm still waiting for some confirmation on that. Because you know, if he is here in the States, then it's not a problem. If he isn't, then yeah, problem. We know that because we know that Blog Talk can't do international calling. So
nope.
That's because Blog Talk's an asshole.
That's right.
Yep. Yep. All the good stuff that happened back in, you know, back in the early days of Blog Talk are over. So we're kind of stuck with what it is.
We're stuck with Blog Talk telling its peers, fuck you, we don't care what you want.
Yep, yep. So, all right. Well, I think we pretty much covered everything for tonight and that.
So,
we'll go ahead and we'll get ready to shut this puppy down. Johnny, Billy, thank you guys so much for joining
us.
I'll go ahead and put you guys back on hold. And don't forget tomorrow night, 9-8 Central for War Wrestling Authority Radio. Hopefully Sean will be feeling better and will be able to join us.
Hopefully. Yep.
So all right, so I am the Dean of Wrestling Referees, Steve Kane, along with my co-host.
The reason why the show will never be a bag of dicks. Chaotic Katie. Well, folks, you know what time it is. You don't have to go home.
And we're going to shake you all night long. Good night, everyone.